can do. That's when he steps in and says, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show out. I'm going to show off because I am God. And beside me, there is none other. Amen?
Amen.
In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto God, Moses was looking at the burning bush. And one thing that, before we read in verse 13, something that really put a hook in me was Moses was walking in through the desert, and he was doing whatever he was doing, but he was by himself, and he saw a bush that burned but was not consumed. It was a flaming fire, and it said he turned aside. It was when he turned aside that God spoke to him. It wasn't that God spoke to him and said, look at the bush. Look at what burns but is not consumed. Something was placed right in the path of Moses to get his attention. And because Moses said he turned aside, something gravitated him. Something pulled at him. Something said, look at me again. Put your eyes back on me again. And it said when he turned aside, that's when God spoke. It's ironic to me how God can so, in his infinite knowledge, know how to get our attention. How he can just put a flame of fire on a bush that does not consume it. Amen. All because he's God and he can do whatever he wants. Amen? And in verse 13 it says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? In verse 14 it says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. In my Bible, I am is capitalized, meaning this is just not, it's just another I am. I can't go to my husband and say, I am. Well, what are you? That's what we follow it up with. What are you? You say, I am. What are you? But God is the only one that can say with a surety, with boldness, I am, period. Because when we say, God, who are you? The same God that we serve are different to different people at different times of our lives. I may be going through something that you haven't experienced yet. Or maybe you have went through something that I haven't experienced yet. But the same God that we both serve is a God of salvation to one. But he is a God of healing for me. He is a God of restoration. He's a God of deliverance. That's why God said, don't limit me as to what you think your minds, your finite minds, can think and understand of me. Just know I am, period. And you fill in whatever you need me to be. I am that I am. And then in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is. What is he? Did it say what he is? He just said, no, believe that he is, comma, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's the only one that can say, I am. And in the Bible it says, he is. Because in the Old Testament, isn't it funny how he says, I am. And then in the New Testament, it says, he is. Because he's proven himself time and time again. I am what you need me to be. I am constant. I am faithful. I am a very present help in times of trouble. And as time goes on, we can see, yeah, he is. He is. It's easy for us to just say, yeah, I know God. I know God. Satanists know God. Satan himself knows God. But to know him, that's what I crave and I hunger for. God, I want to know you. I want to put my finger on you and say, God, you are everything that I need you to be. You're not just one attribute, but you're anything and everything that I need you to be. God has so many names throughout the Bible because he is everything. I don't know of anybody that can say that they're everything to somebody, because we're human. We all fall short. We all mess up.
Amen.
There's not one of us walking on the face of this earth that is perfect. But there was one who showed he is everything. He can be everything to us if we just allow him to.
Man.
One name by itself doesn't fully describe God and who he is. One name doesn't fully cover all of his credentials and attributes. So I ask you this morning, who is God to you? We have to first admit, before we can recognize who God is, we have to first admit what we're not.
Yeah.
I know that as much as I love God, I'm nowhere near where I need to be. I strive every day to get to that place. That he says that none of us have reached perfection, and none of us will reach perfection, but we should strive to.
Amen.
It should be an agenda of ours. We have to strive to be everything that God has called us to be and walk in his love and his perfect will. But we have to first admit what we're not. I'm not perfect. I'm not the model wife. I'm not the model mother. I'm not the model daughter or sister or friend or boss. I'm not those things, because even in the different titles that I have, I fall short. Amen?
Amen.
We all fall short.
Yeah.
And when I admit, God, I have moments of weakness. I have times where I get so angry. I have times where I feel so hurt. I may not show it to everybody, but I keep it buried inside. And I just say, God, you know my heart. You know my very mindset. You are the only one that can help me with this. There are times where I feel so fearful because I'm human. I can admit these things, that I, even as a Christian, I know what I'm not. I'm not in my own self. I'm not the strongest person in the world. I'm not the most put together person in the world. I don't have all of my emotions intact every second of the day. But the Bible says, when I'm weak, he is strong. He is my strength.
Man.
He is my strength.
Yeah.
I know I fall short. I know that I lack in certain areas of my life. But what I lack, he makes up for.
Yes.
God makes up for us where we fall short or what we lack. You may say, I can't do another day the way I've been doing it. And on the other side, God says, but I can.
Yes,
I can do it for you. I can step in, because what you lack, I make up for.
Yeah.
If you say he's your everything, as we have said previously, he is our everything. While that is true, the reality of it is, I would finish that statement with, when you allow him to be.
Yeah.
He's everything when you allow him to be. You know, this past week, we had some issues going on where I had to take my son to the doctor, and they were sending him for some tests, and the first thing that came, I know it came to his mind, because as a mother, you know what your child is thinking. You know the looks, the mannerisms, the actions, and they wanted to do an MRI on Chandler, on his brain. And all this time I'm thinking, I'm sitting in the doctor's office, and she was very reassuring. She said, I don't want you to be scared about this. How many knows when somebody says, especially a doctor, I don't want you to be scared about this. What's the first thing that happens? You're going to be scared about it. You're going to be fearful. And I knew what was running through Chandler's mind. I'm going to die. They're going to find something. And as a mom, I can say this now. Because as parents, and many of you understand this, although you're tore up on the inside, you have to put on that Superman cape and say, it's gonna be okay. Don't worry. Don't be fearful. God has got you. All the while that I was saying that and saying, God, Chandler, you ain't got nothing to worry about. We were making some jokes. We were trying to lighten each other up. But I knew as a mother, God, he's fearful. Because anytime a doctor says anything about test results, it does scare you. And he even looked at me. He said, Mama, how would it make you feel if a doctor told you that? That really hit home. And I admit that the mama bear in me wanted to just say, God, what can I do to make this better? What can I do to take this fear away from him? What can I do to make him feel better and to rest and to know without a doubt that you are God in his life? And God spoke to me and said, well, first you got to recognize who I am in your life. Because if I am everything that you say I am to you, why would I treat him any different?
Amen.
If I'm God in your life, you've got to let me be God in his life.
Amen.
For a mama, that's a lot to swallow. Because mamas, I make a joke about being mama bear all the time because we hover, we want to protect our kids at all costs. And I said, I admit all these different things. I was letting the enemy take a foothold into my mind just for a second. What if they find something? What if they find a tumor? What if they see something that they're going to have to do surgery? What if? There's the what ifs again. And finally, I just had to say, I took a step back and I said, God, for you we live, for you we die. You have not brought him this far to leave him now. You've just only begun. You've only started in him. I see your hand on him. I see you working in him and through him. Devil, I'm here to tell you, everything, as we just sung, everything is working out for my good. Everything is working out for his good. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And then it came back to my remembrance how sweet God is, yes, to remind us. See, to me, in times of trouble, in times of worry and fear, when it seems like all hope is lost, that scripture comes to my mind again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then I was in my truck and I began to drive down the road. And I said, I put on some praise and worship music. And I said, God, you have been too good. Even in the midst of the unknown, you have been too good to me to allow my praise to be withheld.
Yeah.
Even in the unknown, I cannot withhold my praise because I swore to you at all costs. I would lift up your name. I would bless your name. I would praise you in the midst of darkness. I would praise you in the midst of storms.
Yes.
And that's difficult to do. There were so many things that happened this week, and it felt like that I was walking in a dark cloud in a storm. But I learned this week, God, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. The devil would like to break me. He would like to rip my praise out of my mouth. He would like to steal my peace and my joy. But God, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I'm not going to let the devil win this one. See, the whole thing about we have to pick our battles, not with the devil. You don't get to let him have this one and then, well, I'll rise to the occasion and fight with this one. I don't feel like fighting today. Who is God in your life?
Yeah.
Because when we recognize who God is in our life, the battle belongs to God anyway.
Yeah.
It's not ours to pick and choose. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I admit, this week, God was my rock. God was my peace. You may say, God is, who is God to me this week when I needed him to be a God who restores, a God who heals, a God who restores peace and joy? Yes, he was that to me this week. And many times, we go through life, and as long as everything is rosy, as long as everything is going right, we can say God is everything to us.
Yes.
Because everything's going right. But when the storms hit and the winds blow,
yeah,
then we have to ask ourselves, who is God? And you may say, if God is God, why would he allow me to walk through such fire? If God is God, why would he allow people to attack me? If God is God, why do I have to suffer so much? If God be God, why do I have to feel the way I feel? In times like that, we have to go back and say, who is God? Who is God to us? Because see, God is constant.
Yeah.
Whether our feelings come and go, up and down,
yeah,
God remains the same.
Man.
He is our constant because the Bible says in him there is no variableness. Sometimes I can be happy as a lark and other times I can rip your head off. And I'm just being honest. There's times that I have an attitude that's ugly. Amen? I can admit that because that's where I fall short. Where I fall short, God makes up for. My husband knows that.
Amen.
But God is constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where I need him to be. God, when I'm down on my knees and low in spirit, when I know that I don't belong there, amen? I don't belong low in spirit. God has been too good to us. God has been God in our lives every step of the way. So what's changed? It hasn't been God.
Amen.
What's changed? God is our creator. And because he's our creator, only he can define his creation. Amen? Only He can define His creation. He created you. I can't define you. I don't have that right. I don't have that luxury. You didn't create me, so you can't define me. I'll take it a step further. My enemies did not create me, so therefore they cannot define me. Amen? Only my Creator can define me. And when we ask God, who am I? Isn't it funny? We talked the last time I was up here, where when God asks a question, it's not that He's wanting to know the answer. He's trying to teach you something. It's a rhetorical question. He already knows the answer to it. And when we say, God, who am I? Isn't it funny how God says, who am I? Because I'll show you, if you know who I am, I'll show you who you are.
Yeah.
God is our Savior. No one else went to the cross and died for me. Even those that spit in His face and slapped Him and kicked Him and mocked Him, He still loved. That everlasting love.
Yes.
He is our Savior. He's our Father. One who protects. One who chastises. Because He is, those He loves, He chastises. Because He is a good Father.
Yeah.
He's a Redeemer. I have been bought with a price because of that cross. God purchased us, bought us back from darkness and sin. And said, pluck us out of the hands of hell. And said, they're mine. You can't have them. He is my Redeemer. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a God of forgiveness. And that hit home with me still to this day. God, You've forgiven me time and time again. It is my responsibility and my due diligence to offer forgiveness to others. I have to.
Amen.
He is a loving God. God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's funny how the term love is used so loosely today.
Yeah.
I love you, and as soon as you turn around, I'm going to talk behind your back. I'm going to stab you in the back. If it's for my gain, I'm going to do what I want to do and what's right for me. But I love you. That's not love. He's gracious. He is a God of grace. If we can just remember, not in the good times, because yeah, when things are going good, we recognize, yeah, God's all around us. I'm happy. I'm joyful. Everything's right with me. I'm in top shape. I have no want for anything. But what happens when things go bad? What happens when it feels like you're all by yourself? What happens when it feels like you're all alone? You can be in a crowd full of people and feel alone. We make bad decisions based on feelings, based on opinions of others or whatever the case may be. And we find ourselves, because of poor choices, in a bad position. And then we say, God, where are you? But because He's a God of grace,
yeah.
He says, I don't care what you've done. I love you and you are mine. I am your Heavenly Father. And because I'm your Heavenly Father, yeah, I've got to chastise you. I've got to make you know that you did wrong. But as soon as you ask for forgiveness, I am a gracious and loving and merciful God. I'll wipe it clean. I'll set your sin as far as the east is to the west, never to remember them again.
Yeah.
God is just. Somebody say, God is just. Because sometimes we don't recognize Him as being a just God. We want redemption. We want revenge. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith God. We want to see vengeance. But the Bible says, you should pray for your enemies.
Yeah.
Well, in my mind, in my finite mind, limited thinking mind, if I pray for my enemies, how am I going to see vengeance? The Bible says we shouldn't seek to see our brother fall. We shouldn't hope bad against somebody, regardless of how they did us wrong. And that is difficult to do. Amen? Do you have people in your life that have done you wrong, stepped on you, mistreated you, talked about you, and still you find the strength, not your strength, but the strength of God to pray for their protection, to pray for their as a whole? That's not human, but it is God.
Amen.
God is our Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. He is our healer.
Yeah.
I got a book on the power of the names of God. And I started reading it last night and I couldn't put it down. And I said, God, I've heard this for years. I have heard the different names of God. Why is there so many names? Because we can't contain them all. We limit God to saying, well, he's a God of this, but he's not a God of this. You know how I know that? We still worry. We still fear. We still walk in anger. We still walk in ways of sin. God is everything to us when we allow him to be. God doesn't put limits on what he can do. We do. Thank God that he is a patient God. How many patient people do we have in here? I'm not even going to raise my hand. I'd be lying as sure as I'm up here. Because we're all impatient about certain things. Whether it's fast food, how ironic is it that fast food takes forever to get? Why call it fast food when it's not? You want to see, and me get impatient? Have me go through a drive-thru and then tell me, pull up, I'll bring it out to you. That's when my Christianity is put to the test. And my kids have told me, don't you embarrass me. Don't you embarrass me, Mama. And Lexi is the world's worst. Out of the mouth of babes, you're a pastor. You shouldn't do that. You need to recognize we have a Abiding Love Community Church on the back of our truck. What if they see that? What if they come into church one day? All these things. And I'm thinking, you know what? She's right. But you know what I tell them? I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I have moments of weakness just like everybody else. God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what do we say about God? Who is he to you? Because we can say easily, he's God. He's God and Lord of our lives. But when we find ourselves in a situation where I was this week, unsure of what phone call I was going to get about my son, I kept hearing in my mind, who is God to you? Who is God to you? And I said, God, you're everything to me. But yet I'm compartmentalizing him because I'm not sure. That was pretty much telling God, you're God of my life, but when it comes to my kids, I don't know about this. I don't know that you can handle this. That's what my actions were telling him. But thank God, the phone call came in and said his MRI is normal. There is nothing wrong with him. There is nothing wrong. And the doctor even laughed and said, yeah, he's got a brain. He's not a scarecrow. He's got a brain. Everything is fine. And the first thing that I wanted to do, and I did, I called him. I said, son, you got a good report. You don't have to worry anymore. Because I knew as a mother, just like God knows us, he sees us up late at night worrying. He sees us walking around, hanging our head in fear, in shame, in guilt, in whatever feeling that you're walking around in, carrying that unnecessary weight. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. It's unnecessary. Because we feel like we own it. It's ours to bear, to carry. It's ours that we have to hold and walk around with. And God said, I never meant for you to carry unnecessary weight. I never meant for you to do that. Who am I to you? I was in the grocery store when I got that phone call and I said, God, I thank you. Because you yet again have showed me, and I hope that you showed my son, that there is nothing that you won't do for us. There is nothing that you cannot do for us. All we have to do is recognize who you are. So I ask you, who is God to you? When trouble comes, remember, who is God? Who is my God? Because if it were easy, if it was something that I could just go in and say, I'll give you some medicine and channel, this will work itself out. Does God get the glory in that? No, because he could say, well, Mama fixed it. Mama kissed my boo-boo and it made it all better. She gave me some medicine and it was just wonderful. It went away. But what happens when Mama can't fix it? What happens when your husband or your spouse or whoever it is, your children, can't fix it? What happens? I'll tell you what should happen. For God I live, for God I die. If I'm standing in this all by myself, I have to recognize, God, who are you? Who are you to me? You are God, you are Jehovah God. You are Elohim, the Creator God. What you created around us, you created opportunities that we would have never been able to do alone. We would have never been able to do by ourselves. You are the Creator God. And when I started reading last night the names of God, I said, God, forgive me for not knowing and recognizing you and putting you in your rightful place. See, we can live, God is my source, God is my source, God is my everything. But when we don't put God first in our minds, he's not first. He's not. I said, God, you are so much more than what my mind can comprehend. You are so much more. There is so many things that we get wrong about God. And we had this conversation on the way to church. We were at the movies last night and I was crying. Shocker, I know. I was crying and the kids were you know, saying comments about, oh, there she goes again. She's a crier. And I kind of laughed it off. But we had this conversation this morning. I said, the reason I cry is because it's just a reminder of who God is to me and what he has done in my life. I look at certain things and I hear certain things and I picture myself in that circumstance and I say, God, I look back over my life and I say, God, it was you that brought me this far. It wasn't me. It wasn't my husband as much as I love him. It wasn't my children, my family. It was nobody but you. If I can't recognize in every circumstance of my life, not just the good times, even in the bad times, who you are, And I was sitting there studying last night, and I was praying. I said, God, I'm so hungry for you. I'm so hungry to know who you are. I'm so hungry to know the things of you. And then I even asked a stupid question. Why am I so hungry? And then it's like I see a fishing pole. He's like, I'm reeling you in. I got a hook in your jaw. And the more you go this way with worry, you're going against what you know, what you think you know about me. But after a while of going back and forth, you're going to get tired. And this week I got tired. I said, God, my mind is so worn out. You've got to do something. And God kept reminding me, who am I? Who am I? And like Ezekiel, God, you know. You know who you are. Who am I to you? When God asks us who do we think he is? He's so much more than what we can put into words. In times of mourning, he's our comfort. In times of fear, he's our stability. In times of chaos, he's our peace. Who is God to you? Because if he's constant, he's never changing. In him, there is no variableness. Why are we worried? Why did we even give it a second thought? Why did I even give it a second thought that he didn't have his hand on Chandler already? He already knew the outcome. And I'll ask you, those that may have been given tests, doctor's reports, family issues that are unresolved, who is God to you? Those with no jobs, who is God to you? And if you say, well, God's everything, are you laying your head down at night with perfect peace, knowing God's got it? If you're not, as we've all been guilty of it, ask yourself, who is God to you? Who is your God? The devil asks us plenty of times, where's your God now? If he loved you so much, he wouldn't allow you to go through this. What kind of God does this to his child? What kind of God causes such confusion? If we remember, the Bible says he does not cause confusion. Amen. We have to remember in the most difficult times who God is. And when we realize who God is, we can put the devil on the run. When sickness comes, God, you are my healer. You are the healer of all thy diseases. You didn't go to that cross for nothing. You didn't go and bear stripes for nothing. But by your stripes, I'm already healed. For you I live, for you I die. And in you I walk, I live, and I have my being. You want the peace of God to come back to you, to come back to your household? Recognize who God is. Recognize who he is. No matter how difficult it is, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, what other people say, recognize who God is. Amen. And remind yourself. See, there's times that God has to remind me who he is to me. And I remember and I have to reflect. There were times that God saved me and protected me. There were many occasions I know that I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And had it been just a few seconds earlier or a few seconds later, I would not be standing here today. I know that God created certain things to happen to get me where I'm at today. There are things that happened in my life that caused me great pain and hurt and worry. But it all led me here today. And if that doesn't remind you who God is my everything. He is everything. He is something that I can't even describe. And when you get into that place where you feel like you can't take another breath, you can't take another step, remember, reach down deep into that well and remember, God, who are you? Why do I worship you? Why do I read about you? Bring it back to my remembrance, because you said the memory of the just is blessed. Bring it back to my remembrance. And when I go back and I think about my life and I think about all the situations and circumstances and the ups and downs and the mountaintop experiences and the valley experiences, I can say without a doubt, God, I may not have seen it then, but looking back, I saw your hand on me. I saw your hand on my husband. I saw your hand on my children. I saw your hand. Who is God to you? Everybody, please stand.